Please forgive me. My mind is quite scattered. There's lots of thoughts flying through it, but I'm gathering as best I can. But if I have temporary moments, you may not necessarily understand why, but bear with me. So, IDT, Intensive Discipleship Training. This is something that has recently come about, and I'll unpack some of it later during the message. But essentially, we're taking a team of people. I think there are about 10 or 11 of us going at different points down to two churches in Lakes Entrance and Bairnsdale. They're both Baptist churches, and we're going to basically be living in the church buildings and cooking together, and then serving in the life of the church there, and doing training sessions and things with a view that every person, myself included, is built up in their discipleship, growing their faith in the Lord, and to continue to mature. And with this in mind, I was thinking, you know, that's great. It's really great for all these people who've committed to go on that. But I'm also, what is my desire is for us as a church to grow in our discipleship as well. And so I want you to just consider that, and we're going to press into that more through the message today. But what does it look like for you in your life at the moment following Jesus? And it's great to send a whole bunch of young people out, enthused, and to do that. But what good is that if you get excited for them, but nothing happens in your life? So with that heart, my real desire is that as a church, the IDT changes us as a church, that we are all impacted through it. And I believe that is going to happen and is already happening. But with that in mind, I had it on my heart that we would do a teaching series through discipleship, which we're going to be embarking on today, starting with today. And we're going to look at a whole bunch of different angles of discipleship. Today we're looking at the purpose of discipleship. We're going to be looking at the power behind discipleship. We're looking at the motivation of it in the coming weeks. We're going to look at the cost of discipleship, which is everything, and do a few other things in there. I've also asked my systematic theology lecturer from Bible College to come out and share a message, and he's just written a book on discipleship when you have it. So that's going to be later in March, which will be very exciting to have Michael come out. But all that to say, the heart of the IDT is not just to send a group of people out, but is that that is our heart as a church, that we grow in discipleship, in following Jesus, each one of us, myself included, and we delight in that journey together and see the Lord's will being done. So today, what I'm going to do is just open up with a few questions around discipleship, a few thoughts and reflections. I'm going to get your thoughts on that as well. And then look at some of the challenges we face, and then two truths in response to that, and then some of intertwining three different journeys at the end. So, all that to say, I'm going to throw this question out. Love to hear any of your thoughts on this. Some of you may have pondered this very deeply to the nth degree. Some of you may not have thought about it that much, or it might be a new thought today. But if you were to say what discipleship is, how would you explain it to someone? Someone said, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? How would you explain that? Any thoughts? Everyone's going very quiet all of a sudden. I can hear it before you even say anything. Any thoughts? What would you say a disciple of Jesus is? A follower? To encourage and build up in obedience to the walk and teachings of Jesus. Yep, great. Submitting to a leader. Excellent. Becoming an apprentice. Yep. Very much.
Walking in the dust of the rabbi.
Yes. Great, Drew. Walking in the dust of the rabbi. I like that. Yep. This is great. I'm glad I asked. Any other thoughts?
Desiring to learn.
Amen. Having that posture. Teachable spirit. That's right. Same sort of vein. That is excellent. I'm just going to crack open two passages. One is from Jesus. This is in Mark chapter 8. And I'll flick there, and then I've just remembered something that I forgot to mention you in my scattered brain. So we decided we have a lunch on today, sort of to, you know, start the year off again as a church, and then as well with commissioning the IDT. And then I think it was 2 weeks back, I sat down with Stephen and Brett, and out of that conversation realized it'd be really excellent to celebrate the fifth birthday as well today. Our fifth birthday is actually a week away into the future, but we thought we'd combine it all on the one day today. And then on top of that, it's the first Sunday of the month, which means we'll be celebrating communion as well. And what I thought with that is we will actually embed that into our time of our meal time together, of having lunch. So before we have lunch, we'll open that with communion. Just to let you know. So that's part of the reason why there's a lot of thoughts going on in my head. But yes, wonderful action pack. So this is from Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The Lord called the crowd to him with his disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There is not so much exactly a definition of discipleship, but more how to do it. There's a slight definition. If anyone would come after me, following in the dust of the rabbi. If you're following the dust of the rabbi of Jesus, this is how you go about it. But interestingly, I don't know if you ever had thought of this. When you think about the Bible, the word disciple and discipleship, it's very much a gospel word. It appears in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It appears a bit in Acts. And then after that, actually, you cannot find the word disciple in any other part of the New Testament. When you think about it, does Paul ever talk about discipleship? Does Peter in his writing? Can you find it in the book of Hebrews or Revelation? It's nowhere else, only in the Gospels and then in Acts, which is a fascinating thing that it runs so deep and so powerfully, yet Paul never even mentioned it. I'm not sure why that is, but if you have some thoughts, be keen to hear. All that to say, though, you can definitely see the fingerprints of discipleship in Paul and how he teaches and writes, and in the other letters as well. And this is just one example. Here he says, Romans 8, 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And I was meditating on that, and I haven't thought much about predestination. When you often talk about predestination, it's in the discussion, you know, between what's more important, you know, is it God's will or the human free will, and predestination fits in there. But I was thinking about predestined, that we are predestined to something. And it's not just to go to heaven. If you believe in Jesus, you are predestined to be conformed to his image. Do you know that there is going to be a day, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ now, that you will look exactly like him, like the perfect person? And that's going to come. But as I thought on that, I was like, oh, that is wonderful. To be told that I will be like the perfect person. I'll become like him, being conformed to his image. That is what we are predestined for. And that is what discipleship is. It is the journey in this life to become like Jesus, to follow in his footsteps, to be an apprentice, to have that teachable posture. And it is a great blessing. So, here's another question. So that's what discipleship is. What does a disciple of Jesus do differently to someone who is not? So I'd like you to answer this question. Throw some thoughts out to me. What does a disciple of Jesus do differently to someone who is not a disciple of Jesus? How would you answer that question? Is there any difference? Should be everything. Great, no, thank you. Thank you for your boldness. You're right. Should be everything. Hope. Your best hope. Yep. What practically, what sort of actions would a disciple of Jesus be doing differently to someone who is not a disciple of Jesus? Praying about things? Yep, excellent. Loving people they don't have a natural love for. Yep. Relying on what God has said in His Word instead of their personal thoughts and feelings. Yep. Say again. Giving sacrificially. Yep. Excellent. Yes. Yeah. They're a disciple of something else, not of Jesus. Yep. Whatever that may be. Yep. Following something else. That's correct. All of these things are things that Jesus did. He relied on the word of His Father rather than His own thoughts and ideas. You can even see that coming out in Gethsemane. He prayed about things, didn't he? You get to John 17 and he unpacks this prayer where he pours out his heart to God. He did these things. He walked in a hope-like fashion, hope that he was going to be glorified with the Father as he originally was before he came to earth. He did these things. And his disciples, if they follow him, they will do the same things, won't they? That's exactly the definition we were saying earlier, which is a great thing. So this is something more for you to ask yourself. What do you do in your life to follow Jesus? What do you do? If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're an apprentice, if you are walking in the dust of the rabbi, what does that mean? What do you do? What does that look like? How are you any different from someone who's not following in the dust of the rabbi? And this is what has, through my journey, birthed the IDT, an intensive discipleship training. Brothers and sisters, there is a needed action if we're to be disciples of Jesus. I can tell you that. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus and just sit down and do nothing. You will not be a disciple of Jesus like that. There is an action. There is work to do. And we're going to be looking at that again through what we're teaching over the coming weeks. But I want you to think about, again, with that in mind, what does it look like if I'm a follower of Jesus? What do I do because I'm a follower of Jesus? And in meditating upon that, you might stumble across some things that prevent you from following Jesus. And there are many, all sorts of things that we can put there. I just had a bit of a think about this, and there were a few thoughts that came to my mind. When we think about Jesus, often we think about the Son of God come down and this amazing person. And often there can be a stumbling block within us that says, wow, I can never attain to that. We often can think like that even with people around us. You can have someone who you look up to so much and you think, my life is never going to be like that person's. I'm never going to be able to be that loving, that caring, that compassionate as much as I want to, as much as I try to. It's not going to make any difference. We can feel like that even with people before us, let alone the Son of the living God who came. This is probably a significant obstacle to our discipleship. That we, before we even begin, or in the process of it, we think, you know, I can never get there. I can never attain that. Jesus said at one point to a man who he healed, he said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? According to your faith, will it be done to you? I remember when I was at Bible college, I think this question around, is it actually possible to become perfect in this life? And I remember asking this question. There was, you know, all sorts of theological arguments backwards and forwards, and I was wrestling with this myself. And you know the conclusion I came to? I'm like, at this point in time, I'm not really sure. But you know what? I want to go and find out. I don't want to try and figure it out. I want to go and find out. I want to pursue. And you know what? In my pursuit of that, I stumbled across through a teacher, a verse in the Bible that says, aim for perfection. And I thought, wow, do I hold that word above my own thoughts and feelings? Do I aim for perfection? That is a lofty aim. Who is up to such a task? Is Oliver? No way. I cannot do it. That is why he has given me his Holy Spirit, which is the power of discipleship. It is not a power that comes from man, but is given from above to enable what we cannot. And it's by that power we pursue perfection. And perfection has a name, and it is Jesus. It is the one we follow. Because you see, if in the process of following you think, I'm never going to get there, man, you're going to be walking through water, aren't you, on your journey of discipleship? But if you say, I don't know how far I'm going to get. I don't even know if I'm going to arrive. I know that one day I'm predestined to be conformed exactly to his image, and I look forward to that. Praise the Lord. But in this life, I'm going to pursue that to the extent that I can by the power of your Spirit. That's not a burden. It's a delight. Is it really possible? Is it too hard? Another thing that discourages us, I think, often in our discipleship is we look around at other people who are following the rabbi in the dust, the wake of his dust, and seeing, wow, they're so far ahead of me. I can't even get that far. Like what that person is doing, the way that person can just speak or pray, or the way that they serve so faithfully, or the way that they've raised their family, or the way that they've been such an integrity in their workplace, whatever it is, I can't even get that far. And that, again, it discourages us. We're looking already at the wrong place when we do that. But others do it better. Or perhaps there's a thing of, you know, I'm going to get to heaven one day. It's going to all sort itself out. So, you know, I'll just relax, you know, just ease into what's going on. All these things, if we're honest, we can find these questions and motivations in our heart that block us from walking and following Jesus Christ. Or perhaps we find ourselves under too many pressures. I've got so much going on in my life right now. So much pressure. I'm working through study. I'm raising a family. Or my circumstances, whatever. It's really hard to find time to be praying, to be reflecting on what God has said in his word, to be serving others sacrificially, whatever it may be. It's hard to find that time. And there's a justification of squeezing out our discipleship. Or, and this is maybe even harder to be honest to, we have other things that we're being disciples of, or we're pursuing other treasures in our heart. And at points, this is going to be true for each one of us. But we can so elevate other things in our lives that discipleship is just so low down in the dust that is gathering as we walk through week by week and go day by day. And you know, some of these things we wouldn't, we might acknowledge for the week, but gathering on a Sunday, it's a bit harder to be vulnerable and to share about these things. You know what? To be honest, I saw an opportunity where I could have really walked as a disciple of Jesus Christ this week in perhaps sharing the gospel with someone in my workplace. But I just felt like it was just going to be too much, and then I had the pressure of work on, so I didn't. You know, we often are not sharing that sort of a thing. But it can be helpful and important to purify. So, wherever you're at in your journey of discipleship, I want to draw out two truths here that I believe, as we anchor ourselves in these and we walk by faith in these truths, they will lead us into a place of action of discipleship, which is going to be wonderful and delightful. And the first is this, that we need to know Jesus Christ. If you want to be a disciple of him and follow him, you've got to know him. If he's way off, some distant, vague figure who lived thousands of years ago and now is, you know, up in the clouds with God in heaven, not very tangible, not very known, it's going to be hard to pursue and follow after him. But if you would like to know him, you can. And if you would like to draw near to him, you can. More than what you do know at the moment. I can see that we need a revelation in our lives, myself included. I need that. renewed revelation of the glory of Jesus. And what do I mean when I say that? A revelation is revealing something so that we can see more clearly. And the glory of Jesus, it's like the glory of an excellent soccer player or the glory of an excellent musician. You're just drawn into it. You're like, man, I just love listening to their music. Or I just love watching them play. Like, man, when Messi just gets around and then just scores that goal, he can do things that no one else can do. It is amazing. There is a glory there, right? The same with Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus and you're like, wow, how did he do that? When he was in the temple and then all these people came up and they were trying to ask him hard questions and block him and shut him down and he just bang, bang, bang. How do you do that? That is amazing. I would love to learn from you. I would love to walk in the dust of that rabbi. Or just some of the ways that he loved people. He's sitting down and he's on a place where he's under so much pressure in the lead up to being crucified. He knows that his death is around the corner and his friends are bickering over who's the greatest and the most important. And he doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't get angry. He has self-control and patience and love. Like, wow, how do you do that when you are under that weight of pressure? I would love to be like that. I would love to follow you. And this is a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. And so often we can read or we can listen or we can hear from others about these things, but it is God who reveals these things in a way that it impacts us. I can be saying it right now and it may do nothing to you. Or the Lord may use it and really touch you. That's my desire. That's up to him. Perhaps also the posture of your heart. But as we seek out to know Jesus, we will see his glory and there will be such an attraction that we will want to be his disciples unlike anything else. And you know, those things are suddenly going to become dim. It was the Lord before who was dim and hazy and fuzzy. And now it's, is it too hard? Is it possible? Is it like these questions become dim? That's almost irrelevant whether it's possible or not. I just want that. I want that glory. That's what I'm after. And I want to work towards getting it. Lord, help me. Or you know, it might be, man, look at all these other people who are disciples and they're just amazing in what they're doing. All of that suddenly becomes dim and you see Jesus and you're like, that's what I want. That's what I'm going after. I don't care. I don't care about anyone else. I don't care how far they've progressed, what they've done, how many sermons they've preached, how many people they've converted, how many times they've washed the foot of the saints. I don't care. I want Jesus. That's what I want. Can you hear the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ captivating the heart? And there is a pursuit that comes out of that by the Spirit of God that leads into action. I'll get to heaven anyway. Oh, that's not enough. How I want that now. How I want to walk in the glory of Jesus Christ, that others might receive it, might be attracted in that, might know it. I'm so under pressure. There's so much going on. Oh, I need Jesus' glory that I can stand up under pressure and love and care and serve in my pressured circumstance. And these treasures that have become so dear to me, oh, nothing compared to that glory. We are in need of a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke of this. When we receive it, this is what happens within us by the Holy Spirit. He says, indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, not trying to prove how good I am, but a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That's what I want. And that's what I pursue after. And it consumes every other thing. Keep that truth in mind as we walk in discipleship. That we need a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. We need to see him and to see that attraction. And I'll pursue that. Not just so that you're receiving it here on a Sunday, but when you open your Bible throughout the week, because that's what Jesus did. He would have opened his Bible. He wouldn't have had it in the form that we had it, but he would have been opening it in his mind and in his heart, and it was changing his life. And that's what we do. As you do that, open the Bible and say, Lord, I want to receive a revelation of Jesus Christ, unlike I've never had before, that I might see his glory. And that, wow, how I want to be an absolute apprentice to that. Not that I get glorified, but that you do, Jesus, and that other people might come to know you. That's that truth. The second truth is this: the discipleship is not a burden. It is the biggest blessing. And I mean that, I cannot think of a greater blessing. You see, Jesus Christ could have come and he could have died on the cross with his blood shed to forgive every single sin that you and I have ever committed. And that could have been enough. Return to heaven, we enter into heaven, we can now be with the Father. But you know what? God loved us, loves us, you and I, so much. He says, I am making a way for your life to be transformed that you can be following my son Jesus and be transformed to be like him. How loving is that? Not just the forgiveness of sins, but it's a transformed life so that you can live in a way that when you're getting so frustrated at your nagging children or your brother or sister or your parents who are being so overly burdensome to you, that you can respond in a caring and compassionate and loving and self-controlled and patient fashion. That they would be blessed and encouraged, and that there would be harmony in your family. That when your boss is on your case and giving you a hard time and you're feeling under the hammers and you just want to throw in the towel, that you can know what it is to do and how you should live in that situation. It's just not just that the blood has been given, that whenever you commit a sin in those circumstances, you are cleansed, you are clean, and we're going to come to celebrate. Praise the Lord that later on. It is not just that. It is that you can have a transformed life. But we don't look at discipleship like that. We look at it as some heavy, hard road. I'm never going to get to Jesus. This is so difficult. It's such a battle. What a delight. You have the opportunity to walk in the fashion after the perfect person, and you're like, oh, that's so hard. What are we doing, brothers and sisters? Yeah, what is going on? We do not see the love of the Father saying that I have given the world my life through my son Jesus, that the world might be able to become like me. Imperfection. Aim for it. What a delight. Someone's going to call me. You know what? If I do that, someone's going to say to me, Oliver, you're holier than thou. Am I going to let that stop me? You can say that. Go for it. I'm going to pursue the Lord. Call me holier than thou. I know I'm not. I know what I truly am. Oh boy. I am in need of the blood of Jesus over my sins. But I tell you what, I'm not going to let a holier than thou get in the way of following Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let other things get in the way. I want Jesus. I want his glory to be revealed because I've seen it. It's still being revealed to me, and I'm grateful for that. It'll be revealed to me till my dying day, and I want that to be revealed to others through Jesus Christ. Do you know, brothers and sisters, the purpose of the church is this: to make Jesus Christ manifest. He is not living here on earth anymore. He is ascended into heaven, but he lives here through his body, and you are members of that. And our purpose is to make Jesus Christ manifest, that others can see him and know him. What I'd like to do now is just weave in here three different stories and journeys of discipleship, and just elements of them. One is my own. One is the journey of us as a church as we celebrate 5 years, and one is the journey of the IDT. And for me as a young man, the Lord worked in my life and I began to pursue him and say, I want to put Jesus first. I don't know exactly how to do that. If I look back, I think of myself probably as a blind person stumbling around in the dark. I know there's a bright light over there. I'm going to sort of wander in this direction and move that way. But I knew what I was aiming for. Didn't exactly know how to see it come about. I'm still learning. But there was a pursuit of Jesus. And that began to outwork in my life so that I, when I finished high school, I decided to go on a ship for 2 years, which ended up becoming three. And it was a mission ship that traveled around the world, the Doulos. And the Lord used that to transform me and to change the direction of my life. And I came back, Dawny and I got married. And again, in pursuit of the Lord, in my discipleship, I was like, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to grow in you. What is the next step? What does this look like? And after first year of marriage, I started studying at Bible college, knowing that I didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to do, that I would use that in my life. So I did that, finished that, started carpentry, and I was doing that for a while. And during that time, Dawn and I were looking to go into cross-cultural mission overseas. And we started talking with a few mission organizations. And around that time, the lead pastor of the church at the time, Stuart Hunt, came to me and said, Oliver, we're going to be starting this campus, and I would like you to consider if you would be willing to lead it. And I thought, wow, I don't know. We went and prayed. And what the Lord revealed during that time of prayer was that it was exactly the same sort of opportunity that we were looking for overseas. And we knew the culture, we knew the language, we knew the team and the people we were working with. We thought that would be a delight to do. And I did not feel very up to it. I didn't know what it would be like. I'd never been someone in that role of leading a church before. Many of you look at me like that now, and I just so feel not like that. I was actually catching up with Mitch this week, and he introduced me to someone and said, this is the pastor of the church at the Hurstbridge campus. And I was like, yeah, that is me. But I, yes, that's how some of you see me, and I know, yes, that is who I am, like what I do. It's not who I am, it's how I'm serving. But there's such a life that is underlying that, that is pursuing Jesus. And that's why I'm doing this. And praise the Lord for how He is doing that in each of your lives. That is why you're here. You're pursuing Jesus. And glory to God for over 5 years, how He has gathered the various members of His body into this church. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. And I was looking back at photos this week of the first service and just people there. And many people have come and gone over a five-year period, a short amount of time. But there have probably been hundreds and hundreds of people who have come and gone in the life of this church over that five-year period. And you have chosen to join and intersect at some point, as I have, and to commit to walking together as a church family. And that has been such a delight to see, as Zach was taking us through, just as we reflect on our journey as a church. Steve and Brett were both joking earlier this week. We were chatting and they said, I reckon I've probably been to more services in the life of this church, not meeting at the Hub, than meeting at the Hub. And we were just reflecting that time together with a few others just on how, what a blessing that is for us as a church, that we are receiving the value of not a place, but of a people, of one another. And the blessing of the adaptability of that. And even today, like there's just been so much service from so many people to bring what is happening today together. There are people out now who were discussing last Sunday about what's going to happen with kids. There was people throughout the week who were preparing, how are we going to decorate this table? There's someone who got up this morning and went and got a whole bunch of AV gear and brought it down here. There's someone who's unpacked and sat chairs out that you were sitting on. And it is such a blessing. You know, there's someone who brought barbecues out, who's going to be cooking, people who brought plates of food. There is such a ministry that is happening of the body. And that is such a delight. I am being blessed by that. And it is a joy over this 5 years to see how we've grown in that fashion. And just briefly, the journey with the IDT. as I looked around and saw who the Lord has been gathering into our church body, I saw this increasing group of young people, young adults. And I remember one Sunday we were outdoors and for a service, and it was like 50% of the people almost who gathered that day were between 18 and 25. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Like, really encouragingly ridiculous, you know. And what began to happen was I didn't only observe that there was just a volume, like a volume of these people in this demographic, but I saw a hunger in the lives of these people. People who are wanting to know Jesus. People who want their lives to count something. And you know what? I relate to that. When I look back on that age, when I was that age, I still feel that age. That's why I'm going. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what it is, but man, I'm just going to start doing something to follow Jesus. And I was thinking, Lord, I feel a level of responsibility as to serve as a leader. How can I do that? And I thought, you know, as a church, we've run an internship, and I've been an intern in the life of our church years ago. It doesn't feel that long ago. And I thought, I have not got the capacity to take 2 days out every week for a year, but as much as I would love to do that. But the Spirit, it just wouldn't let go of this desire. How can these people be growing in their faith and be given opportunities to grow as disciples? And I reflected on Bible college and how while I was there, the college would run an entire semester and they'd pack it into a week and call it an intensive. I thought, oh, perfect. And I thought, we could even stay overnight together and you'd get even more richness out of it. And we could cook together and we could get, you know, just that life on life. And we, you know, and then I thought, where could we go? And so what was on my heart was to equip people for service in the church. Because no matter where you're going to go, overseas, here, and I believe, brothers and sisters, that we're going to see people overflowing and scattering out of the life of our church, which is going to be a great thing. Painful at points as well and saddening, but a great thing. In that, yes, I wanted us to be together, not just to go out to different places, but to really embed in the life of a church and then to stay. So all of that has wrapped in, and I thought, what can I call this? And I thought, exactly as I can put it, this is going to be an intensive discipleship training. I want to see people equipped and trained to know how to serve, to identify their gifts, and to be discipled. And it's remarkable that we are commissioning and sending that team out around the time of our fifth birthday as a church. That's such an encouragement. You know what? It was when I started as an intern in 2014, it was 4 years later that I was asked to be the campus pastor. When we got up at the Eltham campus last week, I got the team up who were there, and I said, we're going to pray. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask people to come up and pray who have done some sort of discipleship training for 2 weeks or longer. So about five or six people who got up. And I didn't really pay attention at the time too greatly. And we prayed. And then later I was reflecting and I thought about every person who I could bring to mind, or the five or six who got up, was in some way, shape or form involved in church leadership, in mission, in some sort of a thing. And I thought, that is remarkable. And that does not mean that everyone who goes on an IDT or some sort of discipleship training goes on to become a church leader. And not everyone who does not do that does not become a church leader or serve in mission or something like that. But there is a very strong correlation. You could definitely say that. And so, brothers and sisters, I look 5 years from now. These people are seeing Christ and journeying after Him. And as you are as well. Every one of us, seeing after Christ and journeying after Him. 5 years on, what is that going to look like? How are we going to be changed? How are we going to be growing? I believe we will see people established in leadership, in service, growing in that, ministering. And I believe we'll come to a place where we won't be able to contain, there won't be enough opportunities and ways to serve in the life of our local fellowship. That it's going to have to overflow out, and we're going to have to send people to other churches in whatever way, shape or form that's going to happen. That people are going to need to go out and to serve in other places that are not having an experience like ours perhaps, or that may be a bit more difficult, or maybe even far away places that are really hard to see the gospel going forth. But as we journey in that, there is a great delight and excitement. And so what I'd like to do now is to commission that team. And I really, my desire for us as a church is that we don't just send people out and say, great, catch you later. But I've asked each person on the team to approach two or three people from a part of this church family and say, can you pray for me every single day while I'm gone? And we're going to be sending prayer updates, I think every 2 days while we're gone, Lord willing. So that you can be praying. If you'd like to receive those, you can talk to Josh Wakefield or Justin Sahl, and they'll get you on that list. And you can receive our updates and be praying for us. But I believe, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to use this to transform lives, not only those who are going, but those who are sending. And that we refresh and renew our vision of Jesus Christ. And we don't only say with our lips that there is no one like Jesus, we live it with our lives that there is no one like Jesus. And as you see the faith of these people expressed in their action as they come forth, I want you to consider, what is the actions that I need to be taking to follow in the dust of that rabbi? What does it look like for me to be an apprentice right now? And does that look any different to anyone else who is not? So, if you're coming on the IDT, could you come up the front now? That would be great. And it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to spending time with these guys. They're going to know, the guys will at least, what pajamas I wear. We'll be shaving together. We'll be doing all sorts of things, going shopping, knowing our preferences for food. And this is a part of the journey. We share life together. That's how Jesus did it with the 12. And we're going to do it intensively just for these 2 weeks. It's going to be a joy to see what the Lord does. But we need your prayer, we need your support, and we thank you already for how you've been praying for us, for how you've already been supporting us. In the lead up to today, they have already been very exercised. It's been great. When I saw the IDT beginning to come together, and these saying yes, and there were, I should say to you, there are many who would like to be here but cannot be for a whole range of reasons, which is another great encouragement. This is not complete, and maybe, you know, you would love to be here yourself. We're gonna, as a church, we want to find ways to seek to create opportunities to vent our discipleship for the Lord, that we can see it grow. But in pulling this together, I have not been able to do this. So what I realized, we would sit down for meetings and I would just start throwing things out and saying, all right, can you organize all the food? Can you make sure that we have a packing list? Can you make sure that we are covered on this, you know, a prayer side? All right, I'm going to need each of you to start contacting people. And so even before we've gone, there's been a great deal of exercising of each of them. They've been stretching their administrative gifting, in their contacting of people. And even today, it was on my heart. I wanted each one of them to be able to contribute something and to be stretched a bit. Which has been encouraging just to see how each of them have been sharing in that. So what we're going to do now is just hear a bit from some of them, and then we'll have some time of prayer after that. So I'm going to ask those who are not contributing in another part of the service, what is something that you desire God to do in your life through this IDT? What's something you desire God to do in your life through this IDT? Jemima, could you kick us off?
Shouldn't have made eye contact. First person. Yeah. I think there's a couple things. There's some things I want to see us as a group do, and there's some things I want personally to. Yeah. Servanthood's been coming up a little bit in different things with different people sharing. And I think that personally for me, of the wanting to serve the Lord without an agenda of who else is watching, is a big one that I really just want to hone in on while we're there. And I think something for us as a group is to be really aware in our hearts of what are our motivations for the things that we do, whether it's the things that's bothering us about other people on it, or if it's the things that we're really enjoying doing. Just being able to do that self-check with the Holy Spirit of, where is this coming from? Like, and just to identify it and deal with it with the Lord, and then just move on and keep on serving. Because it doesn't mean that we stop serving, or it doesn't mean that we stop struggling with that thing, but just to recognize it really early so that we can just deal with the Lord and just to work really well together as a team.
That's great. Josh, what do you desire the Lord to do?
Yeah, a bit the same as Jemima. I've got kind of one for the overall group and one for myself. But for myself, just my biggest prayer is growth, because I can see a bit like Ollie was saying today, I've got a long way to go before Christ, but I needed that reminder to focus on Him and not everything else to the side. Growth in discovering my spiritual gifts, walking with the Lord, figuring out what He wants me to do. That's my biggest one for me. And then for the group, well, anytime you get a group of Christians together to do something that the Lord wants you to do, the devil's never happy. I'd really appreciate your prayers for all of us as we go forward, that no matter what the devil tries to do to derail this, that it won't come to fruition. God will watch over us, and He'll let this whole thing be a blessing and not a hindrance.
Great. Bobby, what do you desire the Lord to do?
I think kind of the same, like as a group. I'd love to just see us grow together as a group, and I'm really looking forward to when we come back and how we can grow together with the rest of the church and kind of keep on doing what we've been doing in the 2 weeks. Together with the rest of the church. And I think personally, kind of going off of what Ollie was talking about, actually, I tend to have a lot of big picture thoughts in my mind. Like, I'd love to serve God with my life and to pursue God with my life. And it's kind of like a big picture kind of mindset. But I realize that often I treat the day-to-day kind of as like a side thing. Like, pursuing God in the day-to-day isn't necessarily always my priority. But I've also kind of realized that to have the overarching life of pursuit of God, you really need the day-to-day, and that's what makes it happen. I think for me, a prayer for the time would be to really grow in passion for knowing God and for serving Him. And just pursuing Him, being a disciple.
Right. And Zoe, what would you desire from the Lord?
I think to just be refreshed in Him just find some clarity on where He wants me to serve just to deepen and find new friends and grow together. Yeah.
Lovely. All right. I'm going to ask everyone to gather up here in a bit of a bunch. And if you have been asked to pray for this group, can you come up and lay hands on, and we'll hand the microphone around. And if you're a family member of one of the group, you can come up as well. That'd be great. That's fine. All right, gather up in a bunch. Bunch on up. Bunch. Great. I'll pass the microphone around and then I'll ask Stephen to close. Stephen's going to come up for a bit as well, which is going to be great for him to come and bless us with some teaching. So if you'd like the mic, stick your hand up and it will find its way to you.
Thank you, Lord, that we can co-mission with these people and let them really absorb what you have to give them while they're away. And let us as a church feel it and sense it. I can feel it and sense it now. And let it infect the rest of the church too. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, what a joy and a privilege it is to serve you. And I just thank you, Father, that you are establishing your body. I thank you for the depth of intimacy and love that you're producing within each of us. And Lord, I just uplift this IDT team. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will stir a deep hunger that you are already doing, and we can see, we can testify to the work of your Spirit in their lives. And Father, I pray, Father, that their expectations will be exceeded, because you are a good Father that gives good gifts to those who ask. That, Father, you feed those who are hungry. Those who seek and hunger for righteousness, they shall be fed. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I'm looking forward to journeying with them through these next 2 weeks of praying in expectation, in lifting them up, because you are a good God. And I'm looking forward to, Father, hearing the many testimonies of how your hand was at work, that we together can come on our knees before you and worship a holy God, delighting in all that you are doing. So praise and glory to your holy name. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, thank you for the example these young people have already been to us, as we've heard today. What they're stepping out to do in faith, it doesn't come cheap. There's jobs, there's education and things they've got to put on hold while they do this. Lord, we just pray you take care of that. We pray your Holy Spirit will be with each one. You'll be moving, because as they desire to grow closer to you, Lord, they need to learn from you and your Holy Spirit. I ask that you grant their prayers that we've heard before, their requests. They've come because they love you a little and they want to love you more, and they've got great dreams for the future too of how you can use them, and I'm sure you do too, Lord. You have great plans for each one of their lives, so go with them on this time, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we have this wonderful privilege as a church to send our 10 young adults and 2 bigger disciples, Ollie and Stephen. So 12, a pretty good number, Lord. So we want to send them out, Lord, and we just pray your protection over them, Lord. We pray for good health, Lord, that and for much joy as they serve together as a team, Lord, that this joy that they will have will be infectious and visible to others around them in the church, different churches and different communities, Lord. They will be touching through that their obedience and desire to follow you. So we bless them, Lord, and we're just so proud of them. We pray for them, Lord, and we pray for good also night rest if possible, Jesus. But in the tiredness or whatever else will come, Lord, I pray that they will have patience with one another and will run to you always, and just to be supportive of one another as well. So we thank you, Lord, for them, and we look forward to when they come back, and we thank you, God, that we as a church will be transformed as well because of their obedience. Amen.
Father God, I want to commit the churches that they're going to go visit to you, Lord. I just thank you that you have made the way before this group, before they go, Lord. You know already what the work's going to be, what the difficulties are going to be, what the blessings are going to be. Mm. Father, I just praise you. I know they'll be a huge blessing to the churches. Mm. Father, I pray that they'll rub shoulders with people that they can have a big influence on. They can be an encouragement and a blessing. We pray, Lord, that your gospel will go out. Mm. We pray that they will speak Amen. Powerfully and speak with courage and, just enable them in every way, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to stand with these young people and with you commission them into your loving care and providence and sovereignty. Lord, we do pray with them that indeed you would do even more than we could even imagine, as Paul prays in Ephesians, because, Lord God, we might have our own ideas and thoughts, but clearly you're sovereign and you have your plans and purposes. And so we pray that indeed, as we were reminded, that your plans won't be thwarted by either our failings or inhibitions or lack of confidence, or certainly not by the work of the devil, but indeed your purposes and plans would prevail through this intentional and intensive discipleship time. Thank you that each one is stepping out in faith, and we know that through faith being planted as seeds, that there will be a harvest. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that your harvest will happen, will occur in people's lives, in the lives of these young people, but also, as being prayed, in the lives of those they go to serve in those communities in Lakes Entrance and Bairnsdale, that you would do even more than we would pray and imagine in your sovereignty and in your plans and purposes. Even as Ollie's been challenging us with that idea of transformation, we pray that lives would be transformed in a real long-term, day-to-day sense because of this team and their service amongst others. Lord, we recognise in a world that's, I guess, very selfish, we see 10 young people here giving up time, selflessly serving others in other communities. And that humility is indeed an aspect of following you, Lord Jesus. And so we trust in their humility, in their service. There will be a great reward and harvest in the here and now and for eternity. So, Lord, we collect all of these prayers up and offer them in the wonderful name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Lovely. Let's grab a seat. And the band is going to close us with a song, I believe.